Hey, good morning. Welcome to Navigation Church. My name is David Amston. I get the opportunity to share with you today as we continue our conversation on the fruit of the Spirit. This is our summer teaching series. Today we're going to be talking about faithfulness. Just a couple bits of business to kick off. The first is this. If you're watching us online right now, we are so thrilled that you joined in and tuned in to see what we had going on here at Navigation Church. A couple things. Number one, if you're ever in the area, we as a church want to tell you this. We'd love for you to stop by and see us. Come in the door, grab a cup of coffee, sit and worship with us. The other thing is that if you'd like to follow through with what we're doing today, if you download our app underneath Sunday morning sermon notes, you can actually find my notes to be able to follow along and make your own notes, which of course is true for everyone sitting in here, that if you'd want to make additional notes to some amazing thoughts that you will hear today, I want to encourage you to pull out your app and download that. Here's what we're doing. We're talking about out of Galatians 5, verse 22 through 26. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're not familiar with it, congratulations, you're going to be able to quote it in just 1 second. Because when I read the scripture, I'm going to ask you to say these words with me. So you ready for this? Galatians 5:22 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. So we're at faithfulness this week, which means we got two more conversations over the next few weeks about what the fruit of the Spirit is. But why are we doing these things? Because against these fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. If we actually operate the way that God created us to, there's no judgment against us because we're doing what we should do. Does that make sense? Right? And so for those who belong to Christ Jesus, we've crucified our flesh and the passions that go along with it. Because one of the things we've discovered through this whole conversation, you can either have the fruit of flesh or the fruit of Spirit. You can't have both. They don't operate. You're either going to love or you're going to hate. There's not really a middle ground of tolerance. I'm sorry to tell you that, but it's one of the two. So we're going to find peace and gentleness to be our fruit. And since we live by the Spirit, why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and keep step in step with the Spirit. So we're going to cultivate our life in order to keep our dance routine the same with this God. So let us not become conceited, provoked, and envying each other. So last week, we talked about the fruit of goodness. And if you weren't here, I have just a small little thought I want to throw out to you. Brand new today when it comes to goodness. Now, I had something prepared, which I'm going to tell you in a second, but can I be honest with you? When God wants to work on a specific fruit in your life, he'll find a way to test, are you cultivating it or not? Can anyone say amen to that? By the way, thank you for that. If you're new to church, we kind of say amen to basically say, yeah, I agree with you. So that's what amen means. So if I ask you to say amen, I'm asking you if you agree or not. So here's where the fruit of goodness was tested in my life yesterday. So I had my middle boy in a 3v3 soccer tournament. Okay, which by the way, he's back there today playing for the championships. And if they win, apparently they go to Memphis, which if you think I'm paying for a soccer trip to Memphis for a 9-year-old, you're a joker. So okay, here we go. So this is the final game. If we win, we win our bracket, which means we go into the winner's bracket today. If we lose, we're in the loser's bracket, which basically means you're a loser. So I'm sorry. I come from old school. If you're not first place, you're last place. And can I get an amen from someone? Thank you. Thank you, you old fogies. I love you for that. So all of a sudden, the game's tied 2-2. It is heated competition to the point where the ref actually had to tell the other coach, you need to simmer down just a little bit. My boy's in defense because basically you can call my boy the Rock of Gibraltar because nothing gets by him. I mean, he's just solid back there. He gets taken out by one kid and kicked in the hip by another kid and actually is hurt to the point where you can tell he's fighting off tears. So he has to come off the game, off the field. The other coach starts laughing at my kid. Glad that he got hurt. There may be a God in heaven, but he's raining down hell on your earth, right? Not like... Right? You're not happy that my son's hurt to the point where my coach actually said to the other coach, hey, what are you doing? Like, this is a 9-year-old. What are you doing here? The other coach comes and gets in my coach's face to the point the ref has to come, separate them. Nine-year-olds. I don't care about, I'm 42. Yes, I had to do math real quick in my head. Like, I'm so old, I had to do, yeah. Like, I don't care about anything that big in my life to ever get in a fight over, let alone a 9-year-old games. You fast forward about 30 seconds later, they get this lucky chip goes through two of our guys, rolls into the goal. They think they go up 3-2, but they don't because the ref blew the whistle and had to go give their coach a yellow card. He lost the game for his team because he clearly having the wrong fruit operational in his life. Where we ended up going up 3-2, we win. That coach wouldn't even let his players high-five ours to say good game at the end of the game. And the whole time, all I could think is, you deserved it for laughing at my boy. So I'm not saying I have the complete fruit of goodness operational in my life. But here's the thing. As a dad, man, that's the wrong thing to mess with. But how am I going to act in that moment? Because I still need to represent Christ in my life. But then here's the other great thing. If you know me, I'm not going to get in a fight because I'm a sissy. Like, I will try to become your best friend before you take a swing at me because I will lay on the ground. Just don't follow through. Like, but no, this fruit that we have in operation in our life, if it's conscious and aware and in the forefront of our mind, we can see all the time in our life where God could be cultivating and working. Here's the question. If we allow him to. And here's why I think we should allow God to cultivate in our life. So there was a story some years back about an individual who was in a subway, fell down. A complete stranger, jumped into the subway to try to help them, but all of a sudden realized the train was too close to do anything. So the stranger pushed the guy down, and they both lay down in a ditch, and the train was able to go by without injuring them. Later on, when being interviewed, the question was, why did you jump to help this complete stranger? And the person said this, it just felt right to do something good. So psychologists started doing a bunch of different studies, trying to figure out why would someone help a complete stranger that they don't know, even putting their own life at risk. And they started looking at all the different options and the way that we were made and through the evolutionary process. And in all of this, here's what they end up coming to find out, that it's actually not natural to help somebody because as mankind, we have evolved past that. We're more interested in self-service than we are self-sacrifice. And so then I went on, I kept reading this article, and I realized, man, there's a main flaw of the philosophy that this guy's putting out that is different than us. I don't believe that we evolved. I believe that we were created. And if you're new to God and you're new to church, this may sound weird to you, but for those watching online, over in St. Louis, we have this thing called the arch. And if you don't know what it is, it's an arch. That's about it, and we're pretty famous for it. And there's never been a time that I've driven through St. Louis, saw that arch, and went, wow, I bet that accidentally showed up one day. I bet over 1,000 years that thing slowly grew out of the ground, and while it did it, it made the most dangerous elevator of all time be created inside. How many have ridden inside of there? Ting, 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 ting. And the whole time you find your Jesus on that ride, right? There's never been a time that I look at that arch and I said, hey, that accidentally appeared. Why? I believe a designer intentionally set out to create this in order for the world around to enjoy it. And when I look at the human body, when I cut myself, and all of a sudden blood rushes to that area to create a scab in order for my body to heal itself, I go, man, I can't believe that accidentally happened that way. I actually think a designer created it that way. When I see, I have family members with newborn babies, and if you ever hold a newborn baby, there are a lot of things that should go wrong every single time, but they don't. Right? Deformity is the minority, but because there was a designer that created the female body to create life inside of her, to give birth to it one day. And so when I say that we were created by a designer, here's what I would add to that. We were created by a designer to actually do good because it's in his DNA, because he is good. So why do we do good? Why is it, can we say this, innate inside of us to do good? It's because we have the DNA of our Father, and our Father does so much good that he'll actually die for us. So when it comes to doing good things in your life, it's an act of now. So here's one thing I'd like to do for you today. I want to do good, and I think one way to do good is to put a smile on your face. And I think the easiest way to put a smile on your face is to show you this photo. For those who don't know, that's Pastor Brent. This happened on the youth retreat. And when they were gone and I saw this photo, I said to you, I feel like it's my obligation not to let this die anytime soon. And I want to serve you. I love you, Pastor. I want to serve you as a church. You should know this is not going away anytime soon. Why? Because I want to do good things. Okay, so why are we studying the fruit of the Spirit? Because if there's a place in your life, and this is one phrase I want you to hear, I want you to get in your heart, I want you to know. If there's one place in your life where you continue to struggle, where you continue to fail, here's how we'd say it as Christians. If you continue to sin, you know, what is sin? When you do an act and you feel dark inside, you know that you were wrong and no one had to tell you. Any place in your life where that consistently happens over and over, that's a key indicator that you do not have a fruit of the Spirit active in your life. So how do you find those areas and begin cultivating them, changing them, in order for you to have the fruit that God wants you to have, the seed that he's deposited inside of you to grow up? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a quick backstory. And in doing this backstory, here's what I like to do. I want to tell you that we are on starting cluster number 3 when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, the first cluster that we talked about was love, joy, and peace. How many remember that? And I would say this. This is a cluster 3 when it comes to our relationship with God, right? Can you see that? And here's what I mean by that. When it comes to love, we are supposed to love God above all things. But if we have the proper God-like love, it will affect the rest of the relationships in our life. So if you want to go ahead and go to the next slide for me, all it does is kind of show that these three are in a relationship with God, right? And so proper love isn't dependent upon circumstances. We just love because we're called to love. When it comes to joy, what is that first? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And I know this sounds inverted to the American way of thinking, but I promise you, if you put yourself first in your life and you only seek self first, you will never be satisfied. Why? Because you weren't meant to be the God who sits on the throne of your life. Jesus first, others second, yourself third, and then of course peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the peace that underneath the proper weight we can still stand and live under tests, trials, and temptations. So cluster number 2 is patience, gentleness, and goodness. And this is what I would say this. This is a cluster when it comes to our relationship with others. So think about this. Is there anybody in your life you need to on purpose work on patience because of them? It, by the way, it's all right to say yes here, unless they're sitting next to you. Then be like, I don't think so. Yeah, like it's weird, it's awkward, but I can see you, they can't. So, but here's the thing. When it comes to our relationship with others, there's specific fruit in our life. Now, you could say, aren't we supposed to have patience with God? Because I do know this. God is never early, but he's rarely late. According to my schedule. I feel like I should put dot, 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 according to my schedule. So you could say, well, aren't you supposed to have patience with God? No. I would say if you truly love God and you're at peace with him being in control, patience shouldn't be an issue. So I would say when it comes to other people, we have to work on our patience and we have to work on our gentleness. When it comes to our relationship, gentleness isn't weakness. Gentleness is a state of being, knowing who I am because of my relationship with God. Now that I can have gentleness with the relationships around me because I don't need to dominate you through manipulation, anger, or anything like that because I'm fine with who I am when it comes to gentleness. And, of course, goodness. Goodness is what? It's an active word. We as Christians, I know this is a mind-blowing thought, but this is reality. We as Christians should do good things. What do you mean good things? Good things according to God. We covered all this last week. I'd love for you to go back either through the website or the app and be able to listen to that sermon. Okay, so now we're starting cluster number 3, if I could say it that way. Cluster number 3 is going to be faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. And ready for this? This has to do with our relationship with me, with I, with self. Because when you think about faithfulness, and we'll talk about what that means in a minute, but here's the easy one because I think you'll get it right off the bat. When it comes to self-control, that's you dealing with you, right? And so these last, we've now moved into cluster number 3 of our relationship with self. So as we talk about this, we're going to eventually find out that love starts it and self-control ends it, and the only way to have the fruit of the Spirit in between is understanding the fullness of love and having self-control that the two work together and everything else meets in the middle. We're going to cover that next week, though, so I shouldn't tell you too much. So this is where we are on our 3 different clusters, and this week we're specifically going to be talking about faithfulness. Okay, Everyone, do me a favor. Take a deep breath in. Blow it out. Unless you have bad breath, don't. Oh, man. I offended a few of you. Sorry about that. Okay, so here's what we're about to engage in a conversation that if I said we were going to talk about faith for the next 6 months, I challenge myself that I could do that series and never repeat myself. I now have 20 minutes to talk to you about this subject. So can we just say this? I'm probably not going to cover everything. Amen. That's a good time for that. Okay. So the second thing is the specific aspect of faith that I want to talk about is trying to boil it down, can I say lowest common denominator, the tiniest bit, because when you look at the word faithfulness here in Galatians, when you look at the Greek word, here's what it ultimately means. Faithfulness is consistently living out what you believe. Okay? So let me say this a different way. Instead of translating the word faith or faithfulness, I'm going to translate it this way. It is what you believe is the definition of your faith. Okay, good. Everyone's still looking at me. I was happy that I'm still confusing you. Okay, ready for this? Faithfulness. Here's my definition. Doing what you believe over and over, 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 and over and over, and over and over, and over and over, and over and over again. Not depending on the circumstances around you, but you do it over and over and over and over again, because that's what you believe is right to do. The faith that I'm talking about today is not the faith because you showed up here on a Sunday morning. Because I can tell you now, people in your life that you think have the greatest faith because they're the loudest, I challenge that they have the smallest faith. And I know this to be true because every Sunday morning, either I'm standing in the back shaking hands or anytime I travel on a plane, the moment someone finds out that I am a pastor, they go into overdrive to tell me how faithful they are as Christians to go to church. Going to church is not what I'm talking about when I talk about your faith. I'm talking about what it is that you believe on the inside that on a regular basis you practice on the outside. Okay, and I would say this, and think about it this way. It sounds weird on how I'm trying to find faith as far as what you believe, but think about all the different religions in the world, Buddhism, Hinduism, Scientology, whatever it might be. Each one of them are known as faiths, correct? Why are they different? Ready for this? We believe different things. So ultimately, the faith that I'm trying to talk about to you today is simply this. What is it that you believe? And all faiths are different, but not all faiths can be true. But ultimately, faith is what you believe to be truth. So there are people out there that have the faith that the earth is flat. If that is you, I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm not trying to question your belief system, but I am saying this. The earth isn't flat. I guess I am going to. So no. But if you talk to a flat earther, they believe it with everything that they are. You could say the same thing if you're sitting there with someone who believes in Hinduism. They believe with everything who they are because it's what they believe, and if you believe it, it's true to you. But just because something's true to you doesn't mean that it's reality. Okay, I feel like I'm talking a lot of psychology terms right now. Okay, so thank you. I think I got one encouragement. She didn't even say amen. See, you can say other things than that, okay? Okay, so let me try to say it this way. Who you are and what you believe is an amalgamation of all of your life experiences that brought you to where you are now. A collective whole of everything that you are now. And when you're living your life now, what you believe and how you believe it, ready for this? It's the lenses of life, in which, by the way, I'm going to put on a pair of sunglasses that I bought for $9. And with this face, sunglasses are hard to purchase. I mean, twisted steel and sex appeal ain't easy to shop for, right? So when I put these on, if you go, those don't look good on him, it's because the good-looking pair was $25, and I'm cheap. Here's 9. So, okay, ready for this? So, my life and how I view world around me is all built into the belief system that I've experienced throughout life. So I look at the world through a certain lens that puts a certain... Thank you. How you doing? How you doing? Come on, girl. So, Mom, I told you to stay outside. That became weird quick. Okay. The funny thing is, I think this could be a clip that we're going to push out, so I keep trying to, like, come back to the beginning. Okay. So the lenses of life are what our experiences are full of. And so how is it, ready for this, you have two kids that grew up in the same household, and one remembers a loving mom and dad that cared for them, nurtured, and was there for them all the time, but the other kid remembers an abusive dad that was vacant and never supported them. Both of their lenses are true because it's what they defined as truth in looking through their lens. This is their belief system. Or can I say this? They have faith in the way they view the world around them because their faith is the way they see it. And the way they see it is because of what's inside of them. And so our faith in life, we usually look at the world around us and we have faith in what we know because of the experiences that we have. But here's what faith in Christ looks like. It's realizing that there's a different pair of glasses that we're supposed to put on, and it's the way that God tells us to view the world. And where ours are tinted one way, God's is saying, no, this is the shade you're supposed to have to get a realistic view. And when I view the world through my faith, or can I say this, the belief that what God said is true, that's what it means to live by faith. Not by what I've seen, not by what I've experienced. You know, I had one person tell me one time, you know, you can't read the Bible the way I read the Bible because you don't have the upbringing that I have. And I'm saying, hang on, you're reading the Bible wrong. Because the Bible is not contingent upon if you were born with silver spoon or inner city. The Bible was written through the eyes of Jesus Christ to tell us this is the way we were created and how we can live the life. And even though our world is telling us something different, if we can view it through God's world, now I can stand in faith to get what God has for us. Does that make sense? Put your hands together. Amen. Amen. So the goal of faith is to see the world through the way God sees it. Right? And here's why we know, because God is faithful. What is faithful? Faithful is doing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again because you know it's what's right to do. And here's the great thing about God. If you don't know this about him, you should probably know this about him. This is a big deal about him. When God tells you that he will do one thing, he will always do that one thing and never something else just to get you. He's faithful to do what he says he's going to do. So we can trust in God. Now, warning. Can I put a big warning sign up here? When it comes to the faith, there are ministries out there that have been teaching this one subject for 30, 40 years, and it's the one thing they talk about. When it comes to faith in your life, it is one of nine shrubs that you should be cultivating in your world. And the scary thing, I want to say it this way, the warning that I would give you, that if you think you can live your whole life only in the faith shrub, growing it and building it and making it, and as long as I live by faith and I talk by faith and if I name it and I claim in it, if I believe hard enough, I'll never be injured and I'll never be sick and nothing bad will ever come my way. There's a couple problems with that because there's some other shrubs that tell you how to deal with problems when you get in it. Long suffering. Why do I have to suffer long? Because I'm suffering. But if I have enough faith, I won't ever get to that place. Hang on a second. There's eight other shrubs saying, hold on, you're supposed to be tending us because if we tend properly, we will live a balanced lifestyle. So faith and what God says about you is one aspect of your life. But if you say, I have enough faith that God will bring me the money, but you keep spending, 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 what happens to the shrub of self-control? You're basically saying, faith, I need you to overtake my garden because I refuse to work on any other aspect of my life. Does that make sense? And so here's what, and by the way, if you go, I don't think that's biblical, then fine, just take out Revelation 2:10. Ready for this? It says this, don't worry about what you will suffer. See, and I did some studying. That word will, I thought they meant to translate it might. I thought they meant to translate it possibly, could be, perhaps, chances are. But you know what it's translated? Count on it. Take it to the bank. Guaranteed 100%. Signed, sealed, delivered. It will happen to you. Okay, so don't worry about when you will suffer. This devil will throw some of you into jail. Wait a second, I have enough faith that the devil can't touch me. I have enough faith that the devil can't hurt me. Hang on a second. I love you right now. You will be tested. And you will be in jail for 10 days. But ready for this? But if you are faithful, what do I mean by word faithful? If you choose to believe what it is you believe. If you are faithful to believe what God said is true, I will reward you when you die. Sorry. Like, don't worry. At the end, we'll tell you all about Jesus, and if you die, that you can spend eternity with him. But there's some time here on earth, you could have some rough patches. But in those rough patches, will you be faithful not to lose your faith? Which your faith is simply what you believe. What is it that you believe? I believe that if I choose to look through the lenses of the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life, I will see the truth of what God said. That doesn't mean I'm pain-free. That doesn't mean I'm issue-free. That doesn't mean I'm problem-free. Here's what it means. It means I'll ultimately be free indeed. Amen. Because I'm viewing through the lens of Jesus Christ. Let's be honest. It's hard to be faithful. Because I think, personally, and by the way, I could be wrong. You'd have Pastor Brent come up here, and he could say this different. Pastor Aaron come up here, say this different. You could come up here and realize it's a big crowd, get nervous, and step back down. So, okay, here's what I think most of us do when we get saved and we carry our glasses of the gospel with us. And we keep viewing the world the way we've always viewed it, and then an issue comes up, and we try to see what God has to say about it. And we try to throw our Christianity over, but what God is saying, no, no, you have to remove the flesh and put on the spirit. And because we come here, you walk in, you know how to look like a Christian, you know how to talk like a Christian, you know how to dress like a Christian, you know how to do your little Christian thing. When pastor comes up and says, we are so happy if you're a first-time guest, you go, yeah, we're supposed to clap right now because we're happy they're here. Like, we have this whole little routine that we do, and all the while you're carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ with you in your hand, but you're not viewing the world around you the way that God has called you to. And so when it comes to say, but be faithful till you die, why is it so hard to do? Because it's easy to drop what it is we don't own. It's easy to get rid of or discard what it is we haven't learned to live with. So the gospel of Jesus Christ said we have to live with it. And how do we just live with it? Well, we need to look to Jesus, Hebrews 12, verse 2. We need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the joy set before him endured the cross. Enduring the cross, for those who do not know the story of Jesus Christ, the cross is simply this. The cross is a place where not only was Jesus' beard ripped out, face punched, a crown of thorns jammed on his head, where he was beat on his back. Many times this isn't one being said because you can't really demonstrate this on a Sunday morning. He was stripped naked. And he was hung naked on a cold cross in a windy day on the top of a hill for all the world to see him and mock him. And he was willing to endure that. Why was he willing? Despite the shame, the joy set for him, the finisher of our faith, he's faithful, and he's now sitting down at the right hand of God. We need to take one thing from Jesus, and it's simply this. It's time for us to start finishing what we start. Because let's be honest in life, it is very easy to get things started, right? You get things started because everyone's cheering, everyone's exciting. I wrote this down. The dream of success hasn't hit the road of work. It's only enjoyed the imagination of victory. So we want to get going, we're ready going, but then all of a sudden we start getting into real life and we say we're going to change, we're going to do things different, we don't want it the way it be, old be, but what happens is your new way of thinking or the new way of viewing the world, it's never been tested in the real world, so when you hit hard times, you revert back to old patterns. Because you trust these. Despite being broken, despite being dysfunctional, despite being fleshly, we revert back to what we've always known because it's comfortable, because we're used to fighting the battle in an armor we were never meant to wear versus trusting God and being faithful to put on the glasses of the new day that God has called us to. Faithful to do what is right over and over and over and over again, seeing it the way that God sees it. So how do we cultivate our faith? Or can I say this? How do we cultivate our beliefs? Well, around here, we have some P's that we always say, five of them specifically. And the first one is you need private disciplines in your life. If you have your app, these are in there. If not, in a minute, take a picture of the screen. You're going to want to know these. How do you cultivate faith in your life? You need to consistently have private disciplines in your life. We are limited in the amount of time that we have here on earth, so we give some to God by prayer. We stop the busyness. We stop. We pray. We just have conversations to him. Everybody needs food. We're limited in the resources that we have. So there's times that we fast and we say this, God, I trust you with what I need and how I need it. So we fast with food. And I know a lot of times we say, well, I'm going to fast video games, or I'm going to fast, talk radio, or I'm going to fast. Those are wonderful things. But if you really want to get to the nitty gritty of life, and I promise you this, if you want to hear God like you've never heard him before, fast all food, water only, for 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, I promise you, you'll connect with God in a way you never have before. I mean, that is a guarantee. And it's not a religious thing. It's a hard thing. But there's something when you actually put money where your mouth is. Speaking of money where your mouth is, we also give. We have limited resources in our life. So between prayer, fasting, and giving, these are private disciplines that we have in our life on a regular basis to cultivate our faith. What's another one that we have? We have personal ministry. It is great for you to see me ministering. It is great for you to see the worship team ministering, communion, prayer afterwards, coffee bar, whatever it might be. But there is something, and we covered this last week when doing good, there is something when you step out and do it yourself, your life gets better. And by the way, if you ever want to know an answer for something, have someone ask you the question that you need to be the answer. You discover the answer very, very quickly. So the final discipline that I want to talk to you about is just practical application. How do you take what it is we're talking about and practically applying it to your life? How is it you don't just hear about the gospel, but you begin wearing the gospel? How is it that you don't know John 3:16, but you start living John 3:16? And so I would say this, Galatians 6:9, don't grow weary in well-doing, for at a proper time you will reap the harvest. When you continue to tend the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you will reap a good harvest in your life. So what am I trying to say? When it comes to faithfulness, ready? Keep on keeping on. If you want a single sentence to define what today's sermon is all about, when it comes to God doing things in your life, when it comes to faithfulness, when it comes to you knowing the way you should believe, you just need to keep on keeping on. And in that, what does that mean? We'll never have victory in our life by doing something once in our life. We do it because we did it over and 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 over, and we never compromise. What is compromise? Compromise is simply doing a little less than what we know we should do. So instead of stepping back, we step up and we have victory by cultivating this fruit in our life. Because we do over and over and over again, and that's where our faithfulness comes in at. Okay, can I just bring this to a close quickly? When it comes to cultivating the fruit of faithfulness in your life, I have three specific things that I'd love for you to do this week. Number one, prayer and meditation. We say it every week, got to repeat it this week. Here's a scripture for you. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've been conformed all of my life to view the world a very specific way, but now I'm going to transform my mind into a brand new pattern, a brand new vantage point, a brand new viewpoint. So it's time to meditate on what does that mean. So how do you meditate on it? I have two specific questions for you. Question number one that you should ask yourself, why do I still believe blank? So why do I still believe that I'm a loser? Why do I believe that I'm no good? Why do I believe people won't love me? Why do I believe that I'm less than? Why do I believe that I'm a... Why do I still believe? Just you didn't have... And the moment you can identify that thing, which, by the way, if you go, hey, I've been trying this for years and I haven't been able to get anywhere, we have a group here known as Path Counseling that they would love to connect with you and let an outside consultant ask you some questions. And I'm talking about counseling. And if you all... Counselors, they just want to get in your head. Actually, can I tell you what counselors do? Counselors look at you and go, do you know your glasses are blue? No, it's the way I view the world. Nope, they're blue. Just, I'm a third party to point out to you what you're not seeing on yourself. So if you don't know how to ask the question, why do I still believe what I believe? And then the second thing is, ask yourself this question, is this belief true according to God? Because I'm pretty sure he didn't make a dysfunctional son and daughter. I'm pretty sure he didn't make a loser for an heir. I'm pretty sure he didn't make you just broken to always be broken. But actually, he'll take your brokenness and make a beautiful mosaic and to glorify who he is. And God I promise he will be faithful if we are faithful. Because he's not going to promise one thing and do another. You know one thing that he's promised that he'll do? It says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that we will be saved. If you don't know what that means, it means simply this. That God was so faithful to love mankind that he stepped out of heaven, stepped into earth in order to die for you. A minute ago I mentioned to you that he was bruised, he was battered, he was beaten, hung naked on a cross, spikes in his hands and his feet to do one thing. And I know there's so many ways we can say it. He did all of that to die for you. And he was faithful to die for you because for the love of knowing that in 2019 you'd be sitting at Navigation Church and there'd be a time that you would have the ability to turn to him and turn your affections to him. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you a chance to say this. You've been faithful to me. I'm ready to be faithful to you. And actually, I'm going to invite you in just 1 minute to even raise your hand just so that I can see that you've made that decision. But it can be very intimidating in a crowd like this. So could I ask everyone, could you just close your eyes, bow your heads, just separate yourself. And really what you're doing is you're allowing someone around you to quite possibly say yes to Jesus today for the very first time ever. So if you're watching us online, the same question is going to go out to you. But if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, with every eye closed and head bowed, if you're ready to say yes to him today, I just want to invite you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision. I see that hand. Praise God. If you're watching us online, I know this may feel weird to you, feel intimidating. Could I invite you just to simply raise your hand? And it'll be your way to let your heart know what your mind is already believing. And then also want to invite you to say this prayer with me. So if you're here today, could everyone just repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, today's the day that I recognize your faithfulness. So I now choose to be faithful back to you. I give my life to you. So forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And from this day forward, I follow you. God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. There is no greater pattern for us to follow in this world. There's no greater mark or ideal life that we could live than the one that you demonstrate for us for the sake of the cross. God, you endured all of that so that you could have a personal relationship with us. I pray for anyone today still struggling with old glasses stuck on their head, not being able to see the clear vantage point that you're trying to give to them, old ways of believing and thinking that drag them down into guilt and shame and despair and hatred. Every fruit of the flesh, God, we curse it right now. And we ask this, may we cultivate the fruit of faithfulness in our life so that to you we can just do what we're supposed to do over and over again. Holy Spirit, help us in this place. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.